Inclusion Now 56, International. Working toward inclusion without ifs and without buts. Revisiting an interview with Professors Salvatore Sorresi and Laura Nota, University of Padova, conducted by Dr. Elena Tanti-Burlo, University of Malta. I conducted this interview for the Faculty of Education's journal, Malta Review Educational Research. Special edition on inclusive education, listening to the disabled students' voices. Revisiting the interview I conducted with Professors Salvatore Sorresi and Laura Nota from the University of Padova after the appearance of COVID-19 further engages me with the essence of our work, promoting environments for inclusive education. COVID-19 has magnified the inequalities in our educational systems, laying bare the marginalisation of many students, especially disabled students. The following words sum up Professors Salvatore Sorresi and Laura Nota's work, as they continue to stress on the development of the skills needed to identify diversity, to respect and celebrate it. These skills can be learned. They see diversity in its broadest sense as being part and parcel of life. For Sorresi, inclusion just does not happen on its own. It is up to us to create the right contexts, page 169, and teach the necessary skills for us to be able to include each other. There are no shortcuts to inclusion. Cutting corners may easily lead us straight into segregating environments, thinking they are the only way forward, as they lose hope and optimism. Briefly, three themes can be identified in their interview. The first highlights the notion that the success of inclusive education depends on the other. The necessary conditions for inclusive practices are created for inclusion to exist and flourish. Secondly, Sorresi and Nota focus on the peers' awareness and acceptance of diversity in all its forms and shades. Thirdly, they focus on developing positive attitudes like hope and optimism, concepts borrowed from positive psychology. Who are the others? The success for inclusive education depends on many stakeholders. The teachers, the support staff, the school management team, parents, other professionals, the unions, policy makers, and above all the students. To create inclusive scenarios, Nota states that we need to focus on A. the engagement of all who work at school, to create that inclusive culture which one breathes at every corner of the school. B. the engagement of all the parents. C. the engagement of classmates, so that they may learn how to manifest pro-social behaviour, acceptance, support and solidarity in their relationships. The engagement of classmates through the peer preparation programmes, PPPs, is pivotal to their work. Sorresi has advocated these programmes since the late 80s, creating a space for students' voices. The early PPPs focus primarily on the inclusion of disabled students, while those developed recently deal with diversity in its totality. According to Sorresi, it makes no sense to talk about the inclusion of certain categories of people, for example, disabled people, persons with mental health problems, immigrants, and so on. This would have been valid when we used to speak of mainstreaming and of integration, page 165. Today we need to defend the achievements gained and protect those conditions which characterise the inclusive context. These conditions need to be safeguarded as basic human rights. Sorresi is categorical here. A context cannot be inclusive for one category of people and not for another. A context, in our opinion, either is or is not inclusive, and it cannot demand any conditions for membership. We like to say, inclusion with no ifs and no buts, page 165. Nobody has to prove to anyone else their right to membership. We strive to include all children in heterogeneous classrooms. It is this engagement of heterogeneous groups of classmates that the peer preparation programmes address. Today, the school's contexts reflect a high level of heterogeneity and a plurality of situations. Belonging to such classrooms benefits everyone. Children miss out when they are categorised according to gender, bands, levels, abilities, language, special needs, etc. Sorresi and Nota contend that if one wants to strive towards an inclusive school where everyone belongs with no ifs and buts, we need to identify and remove those barriers and obstacles that still present risks of exclusion and discrimination, especially for persons who are particularly vulnerable notwithstanding the existence of policy declarations and current legislation, page 166. We are indeed well aware what these negative and penalising phenomena are. Permanent and affirmative countermeasures have to be put in place, which deal with the teaching and the education of all involved, in how to act respecting diversity, inclusivity and solidarity to combat injustices, page 167. It is in these heterogeneous classrooms that children grow in respect, creating a micro-reality and a laboratory of solidarity, pluralism and compassion, page 167. Inclusion does not happen on its own. It requires intentionality, investment in human resources and continuous care, page 167. We need to ask to what extent have vulnerable children been included during this pandemic in online sessions, been in contact with their peers, attended visual contacts with their educators. I would expect that the answers to these questions would depend on how included all educators, parents and peers are in the first place. This is certainly a topic which needs to be researched.